Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the third and fourth chapters that you heard read earlier. Please be seated. According to Holy Scripture, Jesus' entire life was dedicated to doing the will of his Father in heaven, specifically saving mankind from their sins. God himself took on human flesh and was made man. And if Jesus would not have prevented it, the full brightness of his divine glory would have shone through his human nature at all times. But in the interest of his work of salvation, he didn't outwardly appear brightly as Lord, but as a servant. He didn't appear as the God-man, but an ordinary man, even to the point of dying on the cross. And we see this even as he publicly healed the sick, the lame, the blind, and cast out many demons, for many mistook him for John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets. Just prior to Jesus setting his face to go to Jerusalem, he led his three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John, up high on a mountain all by themselves. And it was there that Jesus was transfigured before them. It was to these three and these three disciples alone that Jesus gives just a brief glimpse of his unveiled divine glory. He was transfigured. He reveals that he is not just any other man. He is fully human, of course, but he reveals that he is fully God. And then suddenly Moses, representing the Old Testament law, and Elijah, representing the Old Testament prophets, they both appear with Jesus and are talking with him. St. Luke's gospel tells us that they appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' exodus, that is his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem, which we know was his suffering and death on the cross to save all mankind. The law and the prophets were never an end in themselves. They find their completion in Jesus. Previously, they served God's people as a teacher and a guardian until Christ came. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Now, in the chapter leading up to our epistle text this morning, St. Paul has been describing the Old Testament covenant is how it is now being replaced in Christ Jesus. It is replaced with the new covenant. He says that while the letter of the law kills, only the Holy Spirit gives life. Now, to be sure, the Old Testament covenant did come with glory, but it was a reflected glory. And Paul compares this the fading glory of the Old Covenant to Moses coming down from Mount Sinai after meeting with the Lord. Paul writes, the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. And as we heard in our text, Moses would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Paul is teaching Christians of all ages that the law cannot save. The law is only going to show you the depth of your sinfulness. It shows you your sins, and it shows that you deserve eternal damnation, and you are in desperate need of a Savior. Regardless of how good you believe yourself to be, your ability to keep God's law as he demands always falls short. The law served as teacher and guardian. The law taught exactly what it was that was required to atone for sins: blood. Each and every bull and goat that was sacrificed taught that the atonement for the forgiveness of sins, bloodshed, was required. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would bring forward two goats. The first would be slaughtered, and its blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies as a sin offering for the people. The second goat would be known as the scapegoat. He was innocent, on which the high priest would place his hands and confess all the sins of the people upon that goat, all their guilt, transferring it from the people to the scapegoat, who would be led off into the wilderness. In this manner, God's people were being taught how the Lord God would redeem the world. It would be by the shedding of innocent blood, transferring our sins unto a scapegoat. With every Passover celebration, Israel would be taught to look at the Lamb of God, who would at once take away all the sins of the world. And that was all in the Old Covenant, teaching a glorious truth, although that truth was veiled and not fully revealed. But it also was intended to fade away. Now, unfortunately, even today, many folks cannot see past that old covenant. They see God's commandments as demands from an angry God, and they can't see through the demand to see the gracious blessing that God has built in to the law, the veiled blessing in the law. For them, the truth remains veiled, and it's only when God the Holy Spirit calls and gathers and enlightens them that that veil is removed and the truth is revealed. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible remains as a closed book, and we miss seeing the one behind the veil. The law and the prophets point to and find their completion in Jesus, who is veiled in the Old Testament but is now unveiled in the New. You can find him on every page of Holy Scripture. St. Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth and all who have salvation by trusting in Jesus and his unveiled gospel message. God the Holy Spirit, working through the proclaimed gospel, has brought them to faith in Jesus in the very same means of grace that has brought you to faith. And again, unfortunately, even though Christ has been fully revealed to us, he is revealed as the one and only Savior of the world. You and I sinners not only attempt to veil the truth of the gospel, there's many aspects of it that we would like to blind ourselves to. Because being born into sin, you and me and all mankind were natural born enemies of God, who daily struggle against our old sinful ways. In his large catechism, Martin Luther writes, "Although we have received forgiveness and a good conscience and are entirely acquitted, yet our life is of such a nature that we stand today and tomorrow we fall. Therefore, even though we are godly now and stand before God with a good conscience, we must pray again that he would not allow us to fall again and yield to trials and temptations." You and I daily struggle against the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. The devil leads you to despise God's word and Christ's salvation on your behalf. He works to tear you away from the faith, hope, and the love in Christ Jesus and plunge you far off into unbelief so that you trust only in yourself. The world drives you to anger and impatience. It drives you to hatred and envy, unfaithfulness and vengeance, pride and the desire of power and fame. Regarding the sinful flesh, Luther writes, "For we dwell in the flesh and carry the old Adam about our neck. He exerts himself and encourages us daily to unchastity, laziness, gluttony, and drunkenness, greed and deception, to defraud our neighbor and to overcharge him. In short, the old Adam encourages us to have all kinds of evil lusts which cling to us by nature and to which we are moved by the society, the example, and what we hear and see of the other people." In Jesus' transfiguration, death, and resurrection, God's boundless mercy and love is fully unveiled, fully revealed. Jesus shows himself as God covered in skin. He is the only Savior of the world. And as God's chosen and adopted children, you and I are called to repentance and to believe alone in the unveiled glory of the gospel. Trust in a new covenant in Christ Jesus. In baptism, you are reunited with Christ's death and resurrection, and you are clothed with Christ's righteousness and also his transfiguration glory. St. Paul writes in our text, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Holy Spirit." You see, the law could never produce such a change in mankind because you and I cannot keep the law perfectly. But the gospel does produce change. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. All Holy Scripture is about Christ. It's all about Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection. Your transfiguration continues the whole way through your life and is completed in eternity. Like Moses' face, or like in a mirror, you, each one of you, reflect Christ out into a fallen world. You reflect Christ so that people can see his glory and his change in you. And like St. Paul, you can have a hope that you too can be a bold servant of Jesus, proclaiming Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of sinners, who you and I are foremost. As Paul writes in our text, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God continues this act of sanctification, this transfiguration in your life as you continue to hear the proclamation of the gospel, as you remember your baptismal promises and continually eat and drink of his body and blood. It's a lifelong process, only brought to completion at your exodus, your departure from this side of heaven into eternal life. As Paul writes this text, he's already faced a whole lot of persecution, a lot of tribulation in his ministry. So how in the world can he press on with such boldness and hope and not lose heart? It's because he knows that it has nothing at all to do with Paul. It's not about Moses or Elijah or any other of the prophets. It's only about Christ and him crucified. Still today, it's still all about Jesus. Paul is free to proclaim the gospel just as you are free to proclaim the gospel, free to use all of your opportunities that God gives you to confess Christ in your daily vocation. You're free to do it, knowing that the work isn't up to you. You merely share the message. The results are up to God, the Holy Spirit. In our text, Paul tells us that he doesn't have to resort to disgraceful, underhanded ways. He doesn't have to resort to deception, and he doesn't have to sugarcoat the message in flowery phraseology to make it more pleasing or pleasant. There were plenty of those types in Paul's day, just as we know there are in ours. Simply confess Christ whenever and wherever God provides the opportunity, and let God give the growth. If the message is joyfully received, thanks be to God. When it is rejected, and please know, there will be times when the message will be rejected. It's only rejected because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not lose heart, because the results are not your responsibility. It's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to thaw out those stone-cold hearts of unbelievers. God alone creates and sustains life-saving faith. And as a baptized and forgiven believer for whom the Holy Spirit has already lifted the veil, by the power of that same Holy Spirit, you are enabled to proclaim boldly the message of Christ, his new unveiled covenant through Christ, proclaiming the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.